Akaya Chakshuran Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gura Sri Yuta Paratamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitantam Sri Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Namami Hari Priye Vanchha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Priyadvaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60. Krishna teases Rukmini. Texts 3 through 9. So we can read 3 through 8 together in unison.
Tasminantar grihe bhajan mukta Tadhama vilambina virajite vithanena dipamani mayerati mallika dama vipushpa virepha kulanadite jalarandhra pravishtascha obishchandramaso malai Parijata vanamoda vayuno dhyana shalina dhupara guru jai rajan jalarandra vinirgatai paya pena nibeshubre paryanke kashiputtame upataste shukasinam Jagatamishwaram Patim.
Queen Rukmini's quarters were extremely beautiful, boasting a canopy hung with brilliant strings of pearls, as well as effulgent jewels serving as lamps. Garlands of jasmine and other flowers hung here and there, attracting swarms of humming bees, and the spotless rays of the moon shone through the holes of the lattice windows. As a guru incense drifted out of the window holes, my dear king, the breeze wafting the scent of the Parijata grove carried the mood of a garden into the room. There the queen served her husband, the supreme lord of all the worlds, as he reclined upon an opulent pillow on her bed, which was as soft and white as the foam of milk. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Rukmini's palace was quite famous then, as now, and these descriptions give a glimpse of its opulence. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti adds that the word Omalai in this verse may also be read Arunai, which would indicate that when this pastime took place, the moon had just risen, bathing the entire palace in beautiful ruddy moonshine. Text 7. Balavya janamadaya ratnadandam saki karat tena vijayati devi upasam chakra ishwaram. From her maidservant hand, goddess Rukmini took a yak hair fan with a jeweled handle, and then she began to worship her master by fanning him. So the next verse is the Brahma Samhita meter. Sopachutam kwanayati maninu purabhyam rejengulira valaya vyajanagrahasta vastranta gura kucha kumkuma shonahara basa nitamba dritaya chaparadhya kanchya. Her hand adorned with rings, bangles, and the chamara fan, Queen Rukmini looked resplendent standing near Lord Krishna. Her jeweled ankle bells tinkled, and her necklace glittered, reddened by the kumkum from her breasts, which were covered by the end of her sari. On her hips, she wore a priceless belt. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti points out that as Queen Rukmini fanned her lord with broad strokes, the jewels and gold on her beautiful limbs resounded with her efforts. So, I think let's just read this one together, too, since we have so many verses. Tam rupinim sriyamananya gatim niriksha yali laya dritatanodanurupa rupa Pritasmayan alaka kundala nishtakanta vajrola satsmita sudham harir abhabhashe. I'll read through the word meanings. Tom, her, Rupanim, appearing in person. Triyam, the goddess of fortune. Ananya, having no other. Gatim, goal. Niriksha, seeing. Ya, shihu. Lilaya, as his pastime, drita, of him who assumes, tano, bodies, anurupa, corresponding, rupa, whose forms, pritaha, pleased, smayan, smiling, alaka, with locks of hair, kundala, earrings, nishka, neck ornament, kanta, on her throat, vaktra, face, ullasat, bright and happy, smita, smile, sudham, nectar, hari, Lord Krishna, abhabhashe, spoke. As he contemplated her, the goddess of fortune herself, who desires only him, Lord Krishna smiled. The Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes, and he was pleased that the form the goddess of fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. Her charming face was adorned with curling hair, earrings, a lock on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted an interesting verse spoken by Sri Parashara in the Vishnu Purana. Devatve deva deheyam manushatve chamanushi Vishnur dehanurupam vai karyal yeshat manastanum. When the Lord appears as a demigod, she, the goddess of fortune, takes the form of a demigoddess. And when he appears as a human being, she takes a human-like form. Thus the body she assumes matches the one Lord Vishnu takes. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti adds that as Lord Krishna is even more beautiful than the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Krishna's consort, Rukmini Devi, is even more attractive than a goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha world. Such a beautiful scene. Oh, for the day when we read something like this and just faint in ecstasy, because we've actually realized what's going on here. The beauty of Queen Rukmini and her quarters. She's the Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shakti is a whole category of transcendental knowledge. Here, this nice point being made here, whenever Krishna appears, then Lakshmi Devi appears with him in the form just suitable for him. So here he's enjoying it. He's looking, it says that verse that he's thinking how nice it is that she's appeared this way. She's the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. The original Shakti, of course, is Srimati Radharani. Shakti, Shakti, Matayor, Abheda. Prabhupada will often quote this. Shakti, Shakti, Matayor, Abheda. I'm not sure where it's from, actually. I thought it was, it's not given any attribution in our books generally, but I came across it in the Jiva Dharma, and it says Vedanta. And I was singing, Vedanta Sutra? I don't think this is from Vedanta Sutra. And then just this morning, I happened to be listening to a class by Gopi Pranadan Peru, and he said that the Upanishads are called Vedanta. So it's probably from one of the Upanishads. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's from Vedanta. So the Vedanta Sutras are commentary on Vedanta or the Upanishads. So this verse, or this line, this phrase, Shakti, Shakti Matayor Abheda, means that Krishna, or Shakti and the Shaktiman, the possessor of the Shakti and the Shakti, are Abheda, they're non-different. In my last class, I talked about this Achintya Beda Abheda Tattva. So Krishna and his Shakti, they're one and different, of course. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikatir Ladini Shakti Rosmad Ekatmanav Apibhuvi Pura Deha Bedam Gatoto Chaitanyakyam Pakatam Aduna Tadvayam Chaikyamatam Radha Bhava Jyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Surupam. So this prayer is glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it says that, well, the idea is that originally there's only one personality, God, Krishna. Eko Bahu Syam, it says, he desired, let me become many. The second line of that verse, which I don't know, says something about, and then he expanded so many prajas, you know this word praja, citizens, our creations, generation, praja means to generate out. So he expanded himself. So originally Krishna is one, but he separates himself eternally as Radha Krishna to enjoy Ladini Shakti. Radharani is his Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. So he's, in a way, he separates his pleasure potency from himself as Srimati Radharani. But then this verse says, they've come again together as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha and Krishna combine. Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So Srimati Radharani is the source of all of these other Shaktis, these female Shaktis. Of course, Krishna is Parashya Shakti Vividayava Shriyate, Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. He has unlimited potencies. Another line I came across in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which was interesting, because it's said that Krishna has unlimited potencies or innumerable potencies or energies. And I think, well, I can count, you know, half a dozen or maybe 24, how do you get unlimited? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually said something interesting. He said, well, there's a verse from the Vishnu Purana that says there are three energies. So, of course, there are different ways to categorize things. So in that verse, so it says there's Krishna's internal energy, and then the jiva, the marginal energy, and the external energy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, so we can only understand these three because we have no more sides. That was the word that he used. We have no more sides, so we can't understand more than these three. I thought, well, that's an interesting way to phrase it. Maybe three sides, like three-dimensional, right? We can't think beyond three dimensions. So there are innumerable energies, more than we can even imagine. Krishna, of course, in general, his shaktis are called achintya shakti. This word again, achintya. So they're inconceivable. Prabhupada would often point out that everyone has achintya shakti. In fact, everything, this word, I think of it like that. Well, we don't really understand anything when you get right down to it. It's like our own bodies. So much is going on here. It wasn't until a recent, I don't know what, 100 years, 150 years, that we had some clue about a cell and what a cell is. Like when Darwin came up with his theory, he had no idea of the complexity. You know, the evolution, what he was thinking of evolution was much more simple than the challenges the evolutionists face today in trying to explain how this all came about just by molecules, atoms bumping into each other randomly. So even what goes on in our very bodies, I mean, if we had to be conscious of what goes on, we'd be in big trouble. It wouldn't operate. If we had to be aware, make sure, oh, I can't nod out here. I have to make sure my heart keeps beating, and my lungs keep working, and my blood keeps circulating, all of these things that are going on. It said that the cell, if you're even in our book Origins, there's some description of the cell, how intricate it is. It's said to be as intricate as a major city. Just one cell, and the body has trillions of cells. And then they're all coordinated, of course, into different systems and subsystems. So this is achintya, how this goes on. And everywhere in nature, this shakti is there. That's so amazing. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's showing us some of his shakti, his vibhutis, because they display some amazing power. And Prabhupada explains, for example, that he says every living entity in 8,400,000 species has some particular shakti, which may be why we want to try them all out. We stay in this world because I want that shakti, and we practice them. Just like the animals, they're so good at certain shaktis we can't do. You can go watch a gymnastics meet, but you can watch the squirrels doing it a lot better, actually, practically from birth. Or things we can't do, they fly in the air, much better than we can do with our machines. Even the plants, Prabhupada says, those who are most expert in Ayurveda, they know how to use everything. He says, every single plant, because you don't know what it is, you call it a weed. Yeah. But every single plant has some value. It has shakti. Everything has shakti. One example he gave often, especially in his talks with Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj, he talked about the lemon tree producing citric acid. He gave this example. You don't know how it happens. It's creating something. You don't know how it works. You take a seed and put it in the ground, and then how does that become a tree? How inconceivable is that? This little round thing, it's nothing. You squeeze it in your fingers and it's finished. But somehow you stick it and you create the right conditions for it, then you have this tree that produces chemicals. Well, it's not so easy to create chemicals. Even in your laboratory, you have to study chemistry. Someone doesn't know how to shut their phone off? Oh, finally got it. Yeah, even technology is pretty inconceivable too today. Isn't it? Smartphones are inconceivable. Actually, technology is quite inconceivable. Most of us don't have a clue how electronics work. But somehow people have brains to do it. So Krishna, he has the brains to put the achintya shakti into everything. This material world is full of all of these inconceivable things, producing things we don't know how. That's the material world, what to speak of the spiritual world. That's one of the attractions to this world, of course. The material world has also kind of inconceivable attraction for us. Just this morning, this phrase came to my mind. We think we're enjoying Maya. What fools we are. We think we're enjoying Maya. We're not enjoying Maya. We try to enjoy Maya. She slaps us in the face, kicks us, and beats us. And I remember seeing a bumper sticker. I had this young neighbor girl who I guess thought she was hot stuff. She had a bumper sticker that said, "In your dreams." You may know this expression, right? You know what it means. I know you're lusting over me, but forget it. In your dreams. So Maya's also saying, in your dreams. You think you're going to enjoy me, but In your dreams, buddy. I'm going to smack you around. Maya grista jivera hoy se pavo doy. You turn away from Krishna. Krishna bahir mukahana bhogavan chakari. You turn away from Krishna and you think, oh, Maya looks better than Krishna. And then what happens? Maya grabs you by the throat with her prakshepatmaka shakti and avaranatmaka shakti. It's such a trauma, actually. You think about it. It's like when somebody becomes kidnapped. Sometimes they throw a bag over their head and throw them in the back of a van and then sit on top of them. And it was funny. I was listening to Sri Vrindavan. She was talking about her son who's going through this intense training. They get kidnapped, actually, and thrown in a prisoner of war camp. And so he's doing it for, I think it's a week or so. I did it for like one day when I was at the Air Force Academy. And it's intense. That's what they did. They threw a cloth bag over our head so we couldn't see anything, stripped us down naked, and threw us into a van and took us someplace. And so that's what happens when you come to the material world, actually. That's what Maya does to you. Prakshepatmika and Avaranatmika. She covers you over so you can't see. Immediately you're blind. That's how we are now. We're in this conditioned life. We're actually blind. We don't know it. We talk about disabilities and handicaps, but we're all disabled and handicapped and mentally retarded. Can't use that. The people don't use that word anymore, but we're certainly that way. Because we don't know who we are, what's going on, confused. So that's Maya's Shakti. But she's so powerful that she shows this other side. She winks and casts sidelong glances, and we think she's so attractive. She has that Shakti. I was just reading in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Gopakumara goes to, he goes through all the different, he's leaving the universe. Such an amazing journey he takes. Everything that happens in the different layers, just like when he's in the earth layer, then Lord Varaha is there, and someone is worshiping Lord Varaha, Bhumi Devi, I suppose. And then on the very outs, the last layer of the universe, there are all the seven coverings, is Prakriti. So there's Prakriti Devi there. Maya Devi, Prakriti Devi. And she's worshiping Mohini Murti. So Gopi Pranadan Prabhu in his commentary says, so this shows that, of course, Mohini Murti is an expansion of the form of Krishna. Krishna in disguise. Krishna disguised as a girl, a woman. So she's more beautiful than Maya because Maya is attracted to her. Maya is a woman, but Mohini Murti is in a female form also. But she's attracted to Krishna. Krishna in this form of Mohini means that she bewilders. She attracts and bewilders, like she did in the Leela, churning the milk ocean to get the demons had stolen the pot of nectar. So to get it back for the devas, Krishna took this form of Mohini Murti, because then they just fainted. Ya karoti padakrantan, Kapila Dev says, Bruvi jimbrena kevalam. Pasyame yoga my. Yoga Maya, Stri Maya, Jaino Disha. He said, just see the power of my Maya in the form of woman. Just by moving her eyebrows, she can have powerful men chasing after her heels. So Maya, especially Maya Devi, material energy, is so powerful. But she's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of expansion so many times removed from Srimati Radharani. So how attractive is she? She attracts even Krishna. She's so attractive. But we're attracted to one Shakti. We also need a kind of Shakti to be attracted in the right place, to do anything really. This we forget. To do anything in this world, you need Shakti. You need to be empowered by Krishna. To lift my arm, I need to be empowered. Krishna can stop it. I think I'm in control, but I'm not in control. Krishna can stop it in a moment. He can remove that Shakti. The things that we take for granted, even in this material world, they can be taken away from us. We might think this way, it's spiritual life, it's my choice. But Krishna can take that away from you too, that shakti to come to the temple, to chant your rounds, to serve Krishna in some way. What happens in the Bhagavatam, what is you might say the main theme of the Bhagavatam, is how rare and precious and desirable is devotional service to Krishna. Not anybody can get it. Just like you might want to be the president's personal secretary. Good luck. A lot of competition for that job. Like in India, I hear people are so desperate for jobs. They have one job in the government. They have like 10,000 applicants for one job. So it's not best to get some mundane civil servant's job, postmaster or something. But imagine to be Krishna's servant. So we're trying to do that. So we may think, I don't feel like doing it. That's not you. You don't. Krishna's not giving you the shakti to do it. Or Balaram also. I am atma balahinena labhya. Balaram also. He also controls shakti. But especially we think in terms of Srimati Radharani and Krishna's energies. Krishna's shakti, one of her jobs, you can say, is to assist Krishna in everything that he does. Just like we have our energy and we use it for something, to accomplish some task. So Krishna only has one task, and that's to enjoy. So what does his shakti do? She helps Krishna to enjoy, especially beginning with Srimati Radharani. And she's so good at it that she expands in so many different ways to create unlimited varieties for her master, her beloved. She wants him to really enjoy, so why should she be limited? She's not going to just cook, cabbage and potatoes every day. She knows how to cook unlimited varieties of things. And in every other area that you can think of, we have the 64 basic arts. So these are also expanded. Or his shaktis, forms of Mahalakshmi or Radharani, they begin with 16 and then they expand out from that, 16,000 and 16 million and 16 billion and so many. All of these forms. And it's by their mercy that we're allowed entrance into the service of Krishna, into that rarefied atmosphere where one can get Krishna's darshan, or just to get Krishna's service. So we had to pray for that shakti. As long as we're attracted to the shakti of Maya, and we're not eager, lowlium, we don't have that eagerness to be attracted to Krishna, to understand how valuable it is and how it's only by Krishna's mercy. Now, how do we lose that, of course? How do we lose that shakti? By aparad. We make offenses. And this Krishna will not tolerate. He wants so much. He loves all the living energies. We're all sons of Krishna. He loves us more than we can imagine. Literally, more than we can imagine. But if we offend his other servants, then he doesn't tolerate that. So that's the great hindrance to us in our spiritual life. That blocks the shakti from coming. Just like in the old Superman show. Right? If Superman to protect you from kryptonite, that was what would kill him. Kryptonite is some metal. So to protect him, they'd have to get in some lead-lined box or something. So to protect us, or not protect us, but keep the shakti away, we create aparads in the shakti of serving Krishna. Bhakti shakti. This phrase is used. Prabhupada uses it also. Bhakti shakti. That's what we want. The shakti to perform bhakti. So that doesn't come if we commit aparads, offend the devotees. So we have our emblems of service. In this regard, all the Vaishnava acharyas whose mood was just service. Yesterday you were hearing those nice examples of servants or disciples of Ramanuja Acharya. how they were so absorbed in service, humble service attitude. So that's important, especially to the Vaishnavas. Vajjan mana palamidam madukaitavare matpratania marunugra esha eva tvad britya britya paricharaka britya britya brityasya britya timam smadalokanata. So this prayer, I forget whether it's by Kulashekar or Yamunacharya, one of those South Indian devotees. He's praying that let the fulfillment of my life be that throughout my life, my lives upcoming, let me just be the servant of 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 the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the devotees pray for this, and that's the key. That's when Krishna pours out the Shakti. And when we get that, then we can actually relish what I was saying in the beginning. When I'm seeing Jayarada Madhava, I think half the time I'm not even thinking what it means, what I'm saying. And then if I actually think, Braja Jana Ranjana, Krishna gives pleasure to the Braja Jans, he's a beloved, so all these things, Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari. So for one thing, to be conscious of it, that takes help from Krishna too. Our minds are always going this way, that way. We need Krishna's help. We chant Hare Krishna. One thing, I have a whole bunch of notes I took, but I couldn't really get it into anything coherent, so I didn't look at them. But one thing I read by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat commentary, he says that of the two, besides Shri is Lakshmi Devi, Mahalakshmi. She's the first eternal consort of the Lord. She always stays on the chest of Lord Narayan. And her first expansion is Bhu Shakti. And he said that Bhu Shakti is the consort of Harinam. So think about that one. What that means. I think, what? That sounds a little funny. Because you think, well, if the consort of Krishna would be Hare or Radharani. He said that. So I don't know what that means, but it's really interesting. First time I've ever heard that Harinam, or the holy name, has a consort. So in any case, we know that, what does Prabhupada say? That the mother Hare helps in achieving the grace of Father Hari. So we know that we need to get the blessings of Srimati Radharani if we want to get the blessings of Krishna and ultimately reconnect with Krishna in our eternal relationship with him. So let me just read the last verse here. As he contemplated her, the goddess of fortune herself, who desires only him, Lord Krishna, smiled. The Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes, and he was pleased that the form the goddess of fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. Her charming face was adorned with curling hair, earrings, a locket on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. Questions, comments, corrections? I know every class I seem to say something wrong. Ragatmika, Prabhui. Actually, one of Krishna's 16 potencies, one of them is called Prabhui, which is the feminine of Prabhu. I know some men, they don't like women being called Prabhu, so they suggest we call them Prabhui.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very enlightening class. In one of those purports, it stated that the palace of Rukmini was famous then as now.
It was an interesting phrase, wasn't it? Well, it was famous then because, well, Krishna's famous and everything he does. He built his city in the ocean, so word must have traveled. And it's famous now because among devotees, of this, everyone who's reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I assume that's what he meant. And it's famous among people who are in the know. They know about Rukmini and her palace and everything about Krishna.
Also, you mentioned that Bhu Devi is the consort of Harinam.
Yeah.
Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that The holy name is the bridegroom of the soul in its pure state.
That's from his, that's for his interpretation of Vidya Vadu Jivanam, I think. Because Vadu means wife. In the Shikshashtakam, that's one way to translate it. Is the life or the wife of all transcendental knowledge. That's another way it's translated. Harinam. Yamashtami Prabhu?
You were saying, you know, how the us not having bhakti shakti is a result of Vaishnava aparadha, correct? Yeah. Is there other reasons? Or is that the primary one? I mean,
as far as I understand, that's a primary one. And one nice example of this is when Lord Chaitanya, during his Mahaprakash, either I think he says it actually, or maybe it's in the commentary, where he's giving blessings to everyone. He calls this devotee, bring this devotee, bring this devotee. Then he gives them prema. But then I think he says that I won't give to anyone who offends my devotees, I won't give the prema. Or maybe it's a Vrindavan Das Thakur that says that. So he's giving freely to everyone, but not... This comes up several times in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur makes this point.
So then other kind of the subsequent question. It seems that in the preliminary stages of practicing Krishna consciousness, that many devotees misunderstand, you know, what actually, I'm speaking about myself as well, misunderstand, you know, actually how we access the capacity to come closer to Krishna. It's more like a, you know, in the beginning, I guess because of our fruit of conditioning and, you know, that we're the Ishvaras, that we try to do it just simply by the devotional practices. I'm going to chant super good rounds. I'm going to be very attentive to read Bhagavatam. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. But then we don't see the connection. And of course, this is symptomatic of the Kanishka. We don't see the connection with actually dealing in a loving way with other devotees as one of the most essential means that we have to make progress devotionally. I mean, back to Vinod Thakur and Jaiva Dharma, I'm kind of making a comment, but I'm also asking a question because I'm hoping you'll expand on it.
You don't have to ask a question.
Anyway, I want you to expand on it. That's my question. But in Jaiva Dharma, back to Vinod Thakur, he describes how favorable the attributes of a Madhyama Vaishnava are for the practicing for Uttama Bhakti, in fact, something that should be accepted. Tadadine, well, of course, Ishvara, Tadadine Shu, you know, Ishvara train giving love to Krishna, and then Dalishesha Kripa, and even Visatsu Peksha. So,
you have this habit of doing all the Sanskrit and nobody knows what you're talking about. Except a few people might, but...
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
You're not just talking to me.
So the Ishvara Prem, you know, is to love Krishna. Of course, that's an obvious one. But then to make friendship.
He's talking about the four things that a Madhyama Adhikari does, four relationships. With God, with the innocent, the devotee, and the demoniac.
Right, so, you know, he's making, that's right, Vigatmaka told me not to do this anymore. to make friends with fellow devotees to help the innocent ignorant, the less, maybe those that we can recognize are struggling in Krishna consciousness, and to neglect the envious, Balishesha. Balishesha Kripa, to help the innocent ignorant, and then Bhusatsu Upeksha, you know, to neglect the envious. So it's all to do with relationships. You know, it's like we're in a trial run. You know, it's just a dress rehearsal for the eternal dealings, you know, in the Nityalila. But it's something that's oftentimes ignored. You know, we just deal so roughly with each other. We, you know, and, not understanding that that's our main means of access to Krishna's mercy.
Okay. Well, we certainly have that, and we have Rupa Goswami, Priti Lakshanam, six kinds of exchanges, so that instruction is there. That's a nice point, though, that on the Madhyam platform, we should be on the Madhyam platform. Prabhupada wants us to quickly come to that platform. So we need to work, do the things that are required on that platform. So they're about, it's about relationships, especially these four things, how you relate to God, how you relate to other devotees, how you relate to the innocent and the demoniac. So we have to have this prema, the maitri, friendship, to make friendship with devotees. So Yamashtami Prabhu is stressing this is important. It's the opposite. You'd say, well, I'll try not to offend anyone. Well, that's just the negative side. You want to be on the positive side. Not only not offend, but positively serve others and try to mutually, to help each other advance in Krishna consciousness. It's so important. Prabhupada makes this point in the Nectar of Instruction purports, how there are societies for so many different things. People come together really to help them. Help each. Why do they have Rotary Clubs and Lions Club and all these things? Because businessmen come together and exchange contacts and so on. They do it because it helps them in their business somehow. So we have only one business, and we want to get Krishna prema. We want to serve Krishna. So we're together in a society to help one another do that. So it's important to, for us to nurture good relationships. And when you think positively, then you avoid the negative part. Yeah.
The loving exchanges, and then he says that simply by engaging in these loving exchanges, then Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya, you know, that our eternal identity will be revealed to us. There's incredible emphasis that he places on it, but then, practically speaking, I'm not saying this critically, but it's my own observation of my own behavior, and I think other others can share that. We just don't seem to quite get that.
Manumati, Prabhui.
I just read an my statement that Prabhupada writes in the CC purport. He says that the devotees should discuss each other Krishna katha like the scientists discuss with each other about the results of their research.
Mm.
I thought that was a nice way. He actually, yeah. To be honest, I was thinking about Janmashtami when I read that, because he likes to discuss, you know. So I was thinking like that, but that was I thought it was an interesting statement. But another statement I also read, I think it was the next purport, we were talking about how scientists, you know, they have all these inventions, and, you know, we can't understand how these things work. But one statement Prabhupada mentioned there, I was kind of surprised. He said that maybe in the future, the scientists would be able to communicate with the Vaikuntha world. Wow. Yeah, I was really shocked to see that. But he says, yeah, maybe in the future they would do that.
Yes, Guru.
Hare Krishna, Rupaji. Thank you so much for a very enlightening class. I have a very specific question to make. You said about, you know, committing offenses. At the beginning stage as a Kanishna, I don't know whether sometimes I really commit mistakes. I might be committing a lot of mistakes, but I don't know. So due to which, you know, the enthusiasm is not there much for devotional service. So at this stage, how do I rectify the situation to get more enthusiasm for devotional service?
Well, for one thing, we begin in Krishna consciousness. We have lifetimes of aparads, covering us over. So the natural things that we do, we're serving Srila Prabhupada, that's one thing. By serving Srila Prabhupada, we can overcome these aparadhas we may have committed for such a long time. The answer for all of this is just this kind of question is always just follow the program that Prabhupada has given. Don't have to try to do anything extraneous. Just read Srila Prabhupada's books, try to chant, try to be sincere in your devotional practices. And serve the devotees how you can. Try to contribute something. Try to help Srila Prabhupada's movement. I recently stumbled across one website where it was critical of ISKCON, and one of the criticisms was made is that they're into, instead of Krishna consciousness, they're into society consciousness. So I was thinking, actually Prabhupada said, there's one letter where Prabhupada says, not a moment should be without ISKCON thought. So there's some support for being society conscious. So because it's Prabhupada's society, it's not some ordinary society. Like in our tradition, we have the Vishwaraj Vaishnav Sabha, the World Association of Devotees, goes all the way back to the six Goswamis. So Prabhupada always wanted an institution of devotees coming together and cooperating. So that's, you know, whatever you can do to contribute to that cooperative effort of devotees, that you'll get the blessings of Krishna, get the blessings of Prabhupada, and you'll be able to see better. Naturally, when you first come to Krishna consciousness, it's all new. You have to learn so many things, Vaishnava etiquette and so on. But you can learn. Of course, there's also stuff in the internet. In fact, I think there's a site called ISKCONleaders.com that has lectures by all kinds of devotees. And there, I think there's a seminar there by Bhakti Charu Swami about Vaishnava etiquette. So you might want to listen to that. So there's a lot of guidance available. Would I know anything?
I was just going to make the sentence after Mother Madhumati's statement. The next sentence was really nice, and she didn't say the next sentence, so I thought I'd add the next sentence. It says, well, I'll read her sentence again since I got it in front of me. Such devotees always merge the knowledge of Krishna and absorbing Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations, as great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in academic, scientific academies. Then the next sentence was, such exchanges of thoughts in regard to Krishna give pleasure to the Lord, who therefore favors such devotees with all enlightenment.
That's Prabhupada's referring to Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, 10:10 actually.
Maschita magata prana bodhayam taparasparam, sounds like.
It's the Adi 1, the Adi 1, text 49.
Okay, well, let's stop here. Prabhupada Gita.